will comment on a Ramah. That's also in here in Siman Beis. The end of Siman Beis, the last Ramah. I'll just comment on one item since someone asked me about it. This is going on what the Mechaber said. We'll get to this Mechaber Mitzvah Hashem a bit later. You're not supposed to walk Dal Ramos Begila Rosh. They call Hashchina. That's also an important din. The Mishnah Berurah points out there about making brachas with your head uncovered or learning Begila Rosh. Then Beivdok Tekovim, and then the Ramah adds the following. Beichaser Kol Gufo. You should cover your entire body. I'm not discussing that right this moment. I want to get to another part of Ramah. What exactly is he coming to tell us? Here's what someone asked me about walking around barefooted. So the Mishnah Berurah brings a Gemara in Shabbos. Amr Chazal, Sivkot and Yudalot. Sheyim kor adam kol ma sheyesh lo v'yikach min olam l'raglov. I actually spoke about this not long ago. I mentioned for my Rebbe, Hagoyin Nisim Alper Zatzal, who is a Talmud Muvah, Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, that he commented on another Chazal. Chazal say that the brothers of Yosef, when they sold Yosef into slavery, so Be'esim Kosef, Pasuk says in Chumash, what are they selling for? So Chazal derived from a Pasuk in the Navi. The Navi says, Al Michram Ba'Kesef Tzadik, they sold the Tzadik, Yosef Ba'Tzadik, for Kesef. Ve'evyon Ba'avur Na'alayim, they sold them for a pair of shoes. Each one purchased a pair of shoes. My Rebbe, Hanisav Alper, has put it in the following way. Each one purchased a pair of Oxford shoes. I imagine Oxford shoes are aristocratic kind of shoes, markedly different than the average pair that a person wears. So he explained this Medrash Chazal along the following lines, that there are certain types of attire that to a large extent give a measure of a person. My Rebbe was very makpid on his ties. I have actually a picture on my wall here of my Rebbe, Hagoyin Nisim Alper, with, according to my children, very shtadi glasses and a very shtadi tie. That tie probably today would be very much in vogue, but I guess that's because he used to tell me, don't think that I purchased this tie recently. No, I purchased the tie 30 years ago. It went out of style, but I knew eventually it's going to come back in style, and so I'm still wearing it. I haven't changed. L'havdil, he quoted the Pasuk in Tanakh, Ani Hashem lo shanisi, v'gam b'nei Yaakov lo chlisem. Anyway, so he contended that the sale of Yosef, which Chazal say was absolutely one of the most heinous crimes ever committed, a crime which is unparalleled, a brother betraying a brother, something which is unconscionable. So they totally lost their sense of self-dignity. In order to reacquire it, they bought themselves a pair of Oxford shoes, and that somehow gave them a sense of chshivus. That's how we understood this Gemara that the Mishnah Berurah calls the Gemara in Shabbos. I today mentioned that the Vilna Gaon has a practice, and those who follow Menhag Yagrua often follow this practice, that there's a bracha they don't say on Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av. They wait till Motzai Yom Kippur and Motzai Tisha B'Av to make this bracha. That's the bracha of Sha'asali called Sarki. Sha'asali called Sarki.
So in the afternoon.
What?
In the afternoon?
Not, also, because the Isser of the Chamisha Inuyim and Yom Kippur applies obviously the entire day, and so too in terms of Tisha B'Av.
I'm missing
the other
halacha.
So Motzai Tisha B'Av, Yom Kippur, they make the bracha Sha'asal the Kotzarki when they put their shoes back on. Where do they get the Kotzarki that refers to Minolin? This Gemara in Shabbos. The Olin Yimkar Adam Koma Sheyeshlo V'Yikach Minolin the Raglov. That's how my Rebbe interpreted that the shoes give a person a sense of chshivas, a sense of dignity, and the like. Someone asked me yesterday regarding in the United States, I don't know if it's so common over here, but maybe some of you remember it, that even very chashuv rabbanim in the summertime, they would not wear necessarily a black hat. There were rabbanim I knew who wore gray hats, or gray fedoras. I'm not sure you can do yourself. And then there were those who wore in the summer these yellow
straw
hats. I saw Gedolei Yisrael wear straw hats. I'm not allowed to say who the Gedolei Yisrael are now, because otherwise I'd be pilloried. I saw it myself, and I didn't wear a yellow straw hat. I felt I was a little bit out of place, but I wore a gray straw hat for many, many years. And as you know, things have changed, and times have changed, and the zeitgeist has changed, and I don't know what. Somehow that's not considered to be appropriate kind of gear for outstanding rabbonim, and you don't really see, with the exception of older rabbonim, you see older American rabbonim, I'm not talking about Israeli rabbonim, older American rabbonim, many of them who retired there to sell, some of them are massive, some of the chachamim, they continue to wear straw hats. In my former neighborhood where I lived, in Beit Shemesh, in Givat Sharei, there's some very chashiv rabbonim there, retired people in their 80s, who learned the Tel Yeshiva, or Meshamesh Rav Loch in Israeli Olam, they themselves are they continue to wear these yellow straw hats. I think Rav Shmuel Shita, you probably know who I'm talking about. One of them, very choshev akayin, and also he has a chavusa, and who lives in Yerushalayim. Also very well known, Tam Chochem. These two shufim learned together with chavusa in Tel Yeshiva approximately 70 years ago. The Tel Yeshiva in Cleveland under the Yedoli Eilam. So they both of them wear straw hats in the summer. They continue on there. Merry way. They don't realize that the times apparently have changed and styles have changed. Okay, I say this all just in order to explain this, Mr. Brewer. Then he goes further. There are places where the practice is to walk barefoot, namely in a hot climate. That's the norm. People walk barefooted. That's not something which is unusual. Now, the Gemara has a number of times in Shas, the Gemara Rashi in Masechet Shabbos, and the one that Mishnah Berurah quotes over here, I'll just read you the Lashon of Rashi and the Mishnah Berurah's Gemara. It says, Rashi, She'en lecha bizui min ha-mahalech yochet bashuk. Well, so what does Rashi say? Bashuk. Rashi says, where are we talking about? Someone walking barefooted in the marketplace. Mashav clear from Rashi. B'toch beso. That's not a g'day. It's a clear Rashi. However, the way the Rambam presents it, lo yelech yochet. Ramad does not distinguish between Beveso Shalodom, Bachutz. He doesn't seem to make any kind of distinction. He seems to, across the board, assume that there's an issue walking barefooted, and one should not walk barefooted. Tzorchim, because the Rashi in Masechet Shabbos clearly does not indicate that. Rashi indicates the problem is Dafka walking Bachutz, and not necessarily walking at home. And there are other Gemaras that also I could refer you to. There's a Gemara in Sochim. And Daf Kuf Yubayz of Aleph, where the Gemara comments, Al Timana min Alim Miraglecha. One should always wear shoes. And there, the Rashbam comments, Ginay Adav of the Talmud Chacham, Sheilech Yochef. It refers to whom? Dafka to a Talmud Chacham. And what does the Rashbam quote as a source? Kidabinen, he quotes the Gemara in Shabbos Kuf Chates, the Gemara quoted by the Mishnah Berurah. Namely, Yim Karadu Koma Sheyeshlo, Vyikach min Olam Miraglav. So there, the Lashon is Ginai L'Talmud Chacham, She'elech Yochev. And ostensibly one could say, it only applies to Talmud Chacham. But I indicated to you the other day that Rabbi J. David Bleich, HaGoyin, HaRab Bleich Shlita, so he told me many, many years ago, a Talmud Chacham today for these purposes is considered to be any observant Shomer Torah Mitzvahs, as a Din Talmud Chacham. Based on the Rambam describes how a person should dress, how a person should speak, talking about Talmud Chacham, but he feels any Ben Torah, any Bas Torah has that status today. Any Orthodox Jew that doesn't necessarily have to be in sync with the definition of the Ramon Yerodea, what a Talmud Chacham is. Mishi Yerodea, Lisa Velite, Rabbi Kavos HaShas. Or someone can answer the Gemara says in Shabbos and Kedushim, even Bechol Mokom, whatever you ask him, he can respond intelligently. I feel the Masechta the Kala, even the smaller Masechtas that people generally do not learn. So his understanding would be it applies to all of us. So the question is, this din of what the diuk of the Rashbam that only applies to Talmid Chachamim, it's a gnai, but the Lashon of the Gemara is sheyimkar adam kol ma sheyesh lo. That's what the Mishnah Berurah cites. What is adam? Anyone. It applies to every single person that one should not walk about in a state of yachet. One that should not walk about in a barefooted kind of fashion. However, I mentioned to you that there are and there were many Gedolei Yisrael certainly who walked around in their homes, Yachef. I saw quoted in the name of the Stipler, the Chatzag Debracha, he quotes that the Chazanish, the Chatzag Debracha, Olach Yachef Bevesa. He walked barefoot in his home. This is Mifurash. In the Orchos Rabbeinu, if you don't know where it is, it's Chelek Gimel, Omud Kuf Pei Hei. I have the Sefer. I went searching, I went looking around to see exactly what's happening, and it's Pashut that in Eretz Yisrael, where it's rather sultry and sometimes warm in the course of the summer, that there's no question the Minhag is Lahakel relating to this matter. And even though the Kaf HaChaim, I saw quoted in the Kaf HaChaim, La Alocha, that he says on Shabbos, you shouldn't walk barefoot. That's a lack of owning Shabbos. But I thought, as the Gemara says, Shabbos l'einig dikta v'leinig tzar, einig is a very subjective thing. One of the distinctions between einig and simcha in the Zmiras of Shabbos. Einig v'gam simcha v'hem l'moshcha. Those who sing Zmiras of Shabbos. But simcha has objective kind of manifestation. The Gemara says, ein simcha el basa v'yayin. Simcha applies dafka on Yom Tov. On Shabbos there's no deal of simcha. We don't spoke about it. There's a text in Tzuvos. And Rav Soloveitchik referred to a sifrei where the pasuk says in Baal Yisrael, "Uyom simchaschem vadechem roshi chachechem, uskatem achatzosos alu losechem alzim chesamechem, vayu lachem azikaron vnei alokechem ani Hashem alokechem." Uyom simchaschem zeu haShabbos. There's somehow some mitzvah simcha on Shabbos, but there's no obligation for a person on Shabbos to eat basar and to drink wine. That it only applies on Yom Tov. And even as I mentioned, the Bria Halacha points out, and others as well, that regarding Bizmanenu Anu, it could be that the din of Basar is not relevant, because Basar refers to Psar Shlomim, and that was only Bizman HaBikdash, so perhaps that din d'oraisa is not applicable. But the second din of drinking wine is applicable, and I'm not going to actually to drink Revius Yayin every day of Yom Tov, albeit Yayin Kal. I don't drink Yayin Chazak, the same Yayin Kal that I drink on El HaSeder. I drink on Yom Tov 3.4% alcohol, which I mentioned to you. My former Baal Batin called Reuter Wasser, red water.
Cholamoid also?
Cholamoid as well, correct. Every day of Yom Tov, Cholamoid is a Mikol Kedesh, and therefore it applies that as well. Because the reason why I say this again, let's say President Shabbos is in an area which is very hot, as we find ourselves in. And for him, it's not an oneg to dafka wear socks. So for sure that Shabbos l'oneg didn't have a lot of tzar. And the general oneg, the Mishabura writes this also, because Gemara always speaks about kasa d'harsana. That's one of the favorite food items. I always say, what is kasa d'harsana? Herring. Now I can't, Rashi comments a number of times in Shas that kasa d'harsana refers to some sort of dog with kemach. It was made with a lot of flour. That's what Rashi said. But the Gemara indicates a number of times that that's something, and people eat fish on Shabbos. There are people who are makbid to eat fish every single meal. Chok v'lo yavor. I can't say I'm makbid, I'm not. But there are those who are very makbid about it, and herring is considered to be, today, many consider it to be kasa d'harsana. White herring, red herring, there are people who are big mumchim in herring. Anyway, they feel without herring, there's no other Shabbos. Okay, everyone has their own, whatever, their own desires, their own... Baruch Hashem, things that they enjoy, but it's possible that if someone has difficulty walking with socks in his house on Shabbos, so it seems possible that he should be allowed to walk barefooted. I don't think it's considered to be a problem. But again, as I told you, the Mishnah Berurah has his position, and the as we just see over here, and he seems to apply it across the board, but he writes, B'mokom ha'arav, shadak alelach yachiv shari, it's not only in Arab. Obviously, it's elsewhere as well, but people have admitted to walk in a barefooted kind of way. And we saw actually in the Tshuva, the Igros Meisha as well, that he writes very clearly that it depends what the norm is. We spoke about it actually on Friday at great length. What the parameters are, according to Rav Meisha, really the parameters are the way a person would behave at home. If it wouldn't be embarrassed to do so in front of guests, trust me, people today, I go out to people's homes where they're barefooted, no problem whatsoever. They're even considerably more than that. They're wearing shorts and all kinds of things, etc. So it's not considered to be something which people would be embarrassed about. So if that's the case, there's no question that would be permissible. Now, there's a different issue in terms of, let's say, would one appear before a melech, before a king, in such a fashion? Again, because we saw in the Igros Meisha, he's more machmir regarding tefillah. There you have to wear the begadim chashuvim. And I mentioned to you that Mishabur is makbid even on kain duchanin yachef, he feels it's inappropriate. And again, here also, we'd want to appear before a king in such a fashion. And we spoke about last week as well, the question of a person walking around in shorts. And again, I mentioned to you that probably Gedol Yisrael, that would not be something of a proper nature, or any Talmidei Chachamim in general, to walk around in such a fashion. But both in Ikroni, it's mutter. There's no question it's permissible. The only issue is that we're trying to restore a sense of dignity to the world at large, and hopefully people of your caliber are people of dignity. But I think that if someone is, as people ask me all the time, they are jogging, can they jog in shorts? What's the suffix? Mutal Khathila. I don't see an issue. But if someone is known as a well-renowned Talmud Chacham, perhaps that might be somewhat not necessarily in sync with the stature of that Talmud Chacham, someone of prestigious nature. But there are those who are very much opposed to any Ben Torah walking around with shorts and the like. They feel it's inappropriate. But again, the point is that the Ofen Ekroni, I don't think it's considered to be a problem of Pialocha. Again, based on what I mentioned to you, as far as the Ofen Ikroni Halacha. And the Shabrua just ends over there on the Sivkot Yudalim. Od Kasim Shem Shla, Dimosim Shem Shuv, Alav Anosim Butar. Now this already is another area of self-abnegation, namely people who decide to go ahead and bring upon themselves self-imposed yisurin as a kapara for the avonos. I don't know if you are into medieval halachic literature. I'm talking about Abir HaChosid, Sefer Chassidim. I'm talking about the whole genre of literature with people engaged in this kind of behavior, and the reason why they did so, they literally imposed upon themselves all kinds of yisurin as kaparos, people would shinny up flagpoles in the winter in their birthday suits. Shem b'tov mitzvahs. How does one explain such behavior, which seems to be b'lashon saginor, considerably out of the box? They did it in the middle of the winter, the freezing winter. It's almost lahavdim and v'alfi abdolos. There are the, what do they call them? The polar bear club? Kach shamati. People who do things of that nature, that is not considered to be the norm. That's not normative behavior, which people are b'nei Torah engage in. And even though one does so because one feels that one needs yisurim, and the Rebbe Shalom hasn't given you sufficient yisurim and sufficient challenges in life, and you have to now impose further challenges as a kapara, there are different genre of kapara, those that are acceptable and those that aren't. So here the Mishnah Berurah says, if a person walks yachef, mishum tshuva, that's mutter. And he brings the right from David HaMelech, shehalach yachef, that would be appropriate behavior. But the other types of behavior that I just described are clearly inappropriate, out of the norm, out of the box, and certainly one should avoid that other kind of behavior. Okay, I just wanted to comment because someone had asked me about this yachef issue. And I said also, I would like to now, before I go further, once again, maybe address another issue, because someone asked me about that either. And even though both questions that were asked of me by people who happen not to be here today, but Chalzer, what can I do? They asked me a second question, which is not directly described here and discussed here in the Mishnah Berurah, but it's an important issue to discuss since the Mishnah Berurah is talking about kisui haguf and the like. So they asked me, as far as a woman is concerned, kisui guf aisha b'fnei bala. So I thought I'd discuss it for a few moments, if you don't mind. The Gemara has in the Dorim, that's really the Makar and the Achtofim and Aleph. The Gemara says that hamistakel ba'keva shel isha, if one looks in the okev of a woman, the ekev of a woman, the heel, habali banim shenim uganim. Omra ab'yesev u be'ishlo nida. So the Rashba takes that Gemara in the Dorim and Daf Chof, and the Rashba extrapolates from there. The Gemara speaks of the Ekev, but he says it applies to any Makam Mechuse, Shebe Ishto Nida. A woman is a Nida, if one's wife is a Nida, also the Istakel B'mekomas HaMechusim Sheba. And therefore, even if they Bala, there are Mekomas Shedakel Chaseisam. And you can see in the Shulchan Aruch, in Siman Kuf Sarikei, in Yerodea, Sif Zayin, it says the lashon is below yistakel afilu ba'keva below b'chol hamakomos hamechusim sheba. That's the isa to look at a makom mechusim. So there are those who clearly understand that this statement that was made, perhaps one could argue that that only applies when one goes outside, as opposed to bevesa, as opposed to in the house, husband and wife. Perhaps this halacha would not be relevant. So the poskim have a chadish that, on the contrary, bizman sheisha nida also l'staka b'mkom hazeh. One is not allowed to be mistaka b'mkom hazeh b'chusim sheba. And again, as I said, if you read the actual language of the Shulchan Aruch over here, so there is what to discuss in this matter. And if it's a makom megula, then obviously mutar l'staka b'mkom hazeh. Even with reference to a nida, that's also a ramah that's found in Kuf Tzadik here over here. I xeroxed it. Sivkot and Zayin. B'makom hagodesh sheba, even though nenem miriyasa, that's how the Shulchan Aruch writes. Because since she's mutter to Yilach Hazman, we're not worried that in the makom megula, if you are nenem miriyasa, that you will be nichshal, you won't come to any michshal. So obviously, with reference to the issue of istaklus, a woman who's a nida, the issue is much lighter than stam erva. So, and yet, b'chozot, again, areas that are mechuse, so it says in Shulchan Aruch, and I want to read the Lashon of the Igros Moshe on this topic. I didn't xerox it because I just came to this early this morning. So in Yeradeh, Chelik Bey, Simenayin Hey. So the Mishnah Berurah, the Igros Moshe rather writes the following. I'll read you his Lashon. U'bichlal mistaber l'dina, he tells you, Allah Chalam Ha'isen, Shebe mekoma sa mechusim sheba, osa l'baylo l'histakel, hu rak במקומות המחוסים אף בבסה שאין שם בקבילה או כשאין שום איש. No one is present, or only your husband is present. So the Igros Moshe here in Chelik Beis of Yerodea, Siman Ayin Hei, writes that if it's a mokum mechuse, so that's what we're talking about, even bevesa. The gamkin begilos, lios milu bashos, because obviously women are dressed in their home. Dolo mistabir klal diya kavono, למקומות המחוסים שאוכל בשוק, in front of other people, that she has to be even more tzanua. So according to the Igros Moshe, there are places where a woman is chayav lechasos b'fnei baila, but he's mechadesh. There's a distinction between kisi aguf bevesa and kisi guf shelishto bashuk. There's a distinction between the way she dresses in her home and the way she dresses outside. Min astam, says Rav Moshe, finds his atzal, in front of other people, as he writes, Srichos lalechetz bitzniyos Yosef. She has to be more tzanua than she is bivnei baila. And therefore, based on this, he comes to a very significant conclusion. That's a discussion, a very fervent and passionate discussion among Gdolei HaPoskim. Kisu Rosh, a married woman covering her hair in her home where no one else is present. Is she mechuyev to do so? Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal, the Gadol Hador, is Meiko. That's a very important halacha that one has to be aware of. Now, it's true that others are chelik on this behechle. The Chafetz Chaim he writes in Siman Ayin Hei over there in that chelik bay Siman Ayin Hei. Take a look at that tshuva. I didn't do actually the entire tshuva, but there he says so explicitly. I read the entire tshuva. The Chafetz Chaim does not agree with the position of Moshe Feinstein, and many other poskim do not agree. I'll read the Lashon of the Chafetz Chaim, if you don't mind. The Chafetz Chaim really is found by Richus in a sefer called Goder Olam. Chafetz Chaim has a whole sefer on tznius called Goder Olam. If you look at the Kol Kisvei Chafetz Chaim, there are several volumes. So that sefer is published there. And in Perek Vav, I'll read the Lashon, I xerox it from Perek Vav, but that's it. I have to have the Kol Kisvei Chafetz Chaim. In Siman Ayin Hei here, in Mishnah Berurah, we discuss some of these halachas, he doesn't really spell it out. Here he tells you that he passes like the Sam Sefer and the Zayah, and he calls the Gemara Yuma. I mentioned it last week, that the Gemara says that Kimchis says she was offered the seven Kohanim Gedolim, Yomai, Laro, Koros, Basi, Kalsi, Sari, that the walls of my home never saw my hair. So he holds that that's what one should be machmir. A woman should never uncover her hair, even the walls of her home. And there are many women who have a doctor exempted to uncover their hair bichlal, 24/7. Except, I imagine, when they're showering or something of that sort, Other than that, they don't uncover the hair. The Chafetz Chaim in Gadir Olam writes the following. Even if she only goes with her hair uncovered in her home, let's say her husband is davening, her husband is saying brachas, her husband is saying Divrei Torah, her husband is learning, that would not be appropriate for that to happen in the presence of a married woman whose hair is uncovered in their home. People in their homes, what do? The hergel is the hispalel, the baruch hamotzi, b'chas hamozen, kol avrochas, b'chas batera, the kashim ol b'zoyak, she'ishtar olachim b'vesa, kruas ro, shilolom, ashum, divrei kedusha, negla. It's almost impossible that one is not going to encounter this kind of situation. If a woman is noheg not to cover her hair in her home, so then you're going to encounter a situation where the husband's going to say divrei Torah, brochas, rosh b'kedusha, whatever it may be, in the presence of a woman whose hair is uncovered, and that's awesome. That is clearly Osir. When we said that Hagoyin Moshe Feinstein was Mekel, of course he was Mekel only in terms of a woman, a married woman, in her own home, she's permitted to be there with her hair uncovered, but not regarding Dvar Shebikdusha, not regarding Brachis and Divrei Torah and the like. That's Osir. That's the Gemara in Brachis Chaptalit, where the Gemara says, Sabi Isha Erva. We're talking specifically, that's quoted in 7-9-A, in Shulchan Aruch. So here the Chafetz Chaim is Machmir against the position of the Igros Moshe, very clearly, both in 9-A, and also in the Sefer Gadir Olam at great length. And he speaks very strongly. He said it's very difficult to be Nizar, since obviously men are learning Torah and are saying brachas and Dvar Shebikdusha in their homes, and if their wives go about with their hair uncovered, so we're going to encounter a mikshal. And he writes very strongly, I'm just selecting certain ktayim, certain pieces from the Chafetz Chaim, Bizisa es kvodo, that she was mevaza, he's covered of her husband, because different parts of her body, talking about hair now, are migula. Af be'ez sheberach ba'alech, eze bracha, olam ha'shum divrei Torah, the husband is learning, husband is saying brachas. La'afuke, im nasis neged ha'erva, goni b'shosh shekar eze dvar Torah, o sheberach shum bracha, yaneged tzar isha, ozro osecha, migulim, l'achash shedivri chazal she'asim b'zeh. So, the Mishnah Berurah understands that the chiyuv that a woman has to cover her hair in her home is in order not to be machshel her husband in dvarim shebikdusha or brachas or things of that sort. Again, this is based on the position which the Mishnah Berurah happens to maintain, that there's a chiyuv for a woman lechasas es rosho bebeisa. She has an obligation. This is the Mishnah Berurah consistently, especially in Siman Ayin Hey, where he quotes La Alocha, this din, very clear, very carefully, but even, as I said, but Pashup shot that the Mishnah Berurah is worried about being Machshil, her husband. But if no one else is in the house, and let's say the husband never davens home, I imagine he does say brachas once in a while, but he learns in Beis Medrash, and he's in the yeshiva, and he's in a setting where, in a shul, and where this doesn't happen. So the Mishnah Berurah still is in favor of, he feels mitzat snius, that's the proper thing to do. But the Igros Moshe writes, he's talking about the ofen ekroni, the ikra hadin, the ikra halacha, where there is no such obligation for a married woman, assuming no one else is present, she and her husband, covering her hair, again, barring any situation where there are brachas or dvar shebikdusha that are going to be said. And this is, again, as I said, leads us to another issue, which I just want to touch on, just for the last few moments, if I may. Which is also a very significant issue that's discussed by the Gdolei Achronim at great length. Can a woman walk around in her home the way we spoke about here in Siman Beis, a man walking around his home in a fashion which some would consider to be not so tzanua, but Ba'ofen Achroni is permissible? What about a woman walking around? Again, we're talking about the woman and her husband, no one else is present, no one else is there, and she's wearing a chaluk shakuf. So is that, again, obviously she's wearing, there are garments that she does wear, but essentially she's not dressed in the most modest kind of way. And so this again is a relatively clear halacha psuka lefi anius daiti, that essentially it is permissible. It is not also. Of course it's not sonua. It's a chisaron of the derech hatara of benos Yisrael. It's far from the Midas HaKdusha. It's Megar the Yetzer Hara. And it's certainly something not appropriate. And I'll just read you, I happen to own this Sefer, the Michas Yitzchak Dayan Weiss. I you have been mezakeh me. Because of you, I'm looking around all over the place. I spend several hours a day doing this, enjoying it immensely. So the Mincha Hatzitza dying rice, he was a dying in England. Then he came to Eretz Yisrael. He was the dying of the Eidah Chavedis. He really wrote tshuvas that are absolutely, it's, you want to know anything written on this topic in Kol HaTorah Kula, he provides it for you. Literally, the English expression is, I mean it in a positive way, everything but the kitchen sink. You're familiar with that expression. Anyway, so that's exactly what he does. So he writes in a tshuva, and his tshuva sounds Chelik Vav Simen Yud. I don't often use his tshuvas, but now I'm beginning to look at them again. Kibalti mikhtobo aderach ha-pirtsa shevavaseinu harabim nifritza gam bebatim ha-charidim shevimei ha-kayetz holcho b'li gabayim. They walk without socks. Vimei ha-kayetz. Haim yesh heter al-pi ha-mavur bepach simenayin hei nibayarot ha-holchot yocheif eino osu likos kenegdo. There are places, there are cities where people walk yocheif without, as I mentioned, without socks. But salom v'chai gavna lo havi erva kem de regil b'ze lo yadati mazeh hashela pshita de kavaras habach rak al kapos haraglayim. Kapos referred to the sole, the under part of the foot. That's what we're talking about. U'kemo shigas b'chai yadam de brzol seha b'shoka. We're talking about the zroa of the shok. Afilu regil b'kach yadar chaputzes osa b'kach chasib mishaburah sivkot beiz v'shar tzion shom. He calls the Leo Rabbi Mishem Rokeach, the Chen Muchach, he calls the Gemara Ksubas, the Andafayim Beis, Das Yehudis, and the Chazlish Mesupok, Imap Beperak Atachton, Shevein Azura, Vakav, Havi Bichal Pritzos, Lo Mahan Le Minhoga. There's a big machlokes, as you probably know, regarding where the shok is. Shok B'Yisha Erva is the shok, essentially up to the knee. Mishaburah 7-9-A spells knee, Kuf Nun Yud Aleph. It's like the Tshuvas of the Igros Meshach, where he transliterates from the English, that's how Mishaburah. I assume that word must be a Yiddish word. I don't think the Mishaburah knew the English language, as far as I know. Kni, that's a very famous Mishaburah in Siman Ayin Hey. So he writes over here, the Michas Yitzchak, that, again, this is the discussion among the Dodei Apostle. Chazanish has a point out Machlokes HaRishonim, where the Shok refers to the area till below the knee, or even going all the way down to the ankle. Some Poskim hold that also is called Shok, so it's totally on that. Whatever the case is, they were talking about Das Yehudis, and I just want to sum it up, and this is, I'll sum it up by reading a piece from Halichos Bas Yisrael. This is a sefer written by Rav Fuchs, who was a Talmud Muvlag of Hashem Zalman Oyebach Zatzal, and there's two yellow volumes. Maybe Rabbi Brandfeld, are you familiar with those two volumes? Rabbi Feinberg, he knows every sefer. So that sefer has a lot of fascinating chidushim in there. The sefer was written in Hebrew, translated to English, and there are chilukim between the Hebrew volume and the English volume. It's fascinating why that's so. I have to make a sociological statement, because the English volume is intended for a certain audience, how shall we put it, a broader kind of audience, an American audience, an Anglo-Saxon audience. The Hebrew volume is intended for the Israeli laity, or the Israeli public, if you will. So there are chilukim in halacha between one same to the next, even though it's more or less a literal translation, but not completely. As I've noticed, I've gone through both sets of volumes. This is what I do in my spare time. Anyway, so he had the following psak in the name of Shlomo Zalman. And this, I'll end with this. Min Hadin says Rav Shlomo Zalman, Efshel Hakel Isha Nintit Bevesa Bereshach Hayom, Veina Yotzei Derechov She'ena Chayav Ligrov Garbayi, She'na Mechuyev to wear socks in her home. Vigam Dira She'isha Nida Eina Tzricha Ligrov Garbayim Vnebala, nor is a woman as a nida mechuyev to wear socks. Upasha da'ayinu belavusha al kolponim, where she's at least dressed, simla ba'orech bekisa kasheri bachutz. She's certainly wearing a shu al pi gidrei hilchot sniyus, ochein he'irani, hagoin av yashiv zatzal, shel mevuah b'mishnevuah simenayinei, osu lebal, Loma Dvan Shibikdusha, the Mulishto Sheno, Gorevas Gabai, Rav Shlomo Zalman quotes Abel Yashiv, his Mechudin, who held that a woman who's not wearing socks cannot, the one is not allowed to say Dvan Shibikdusha in her presence. Wow. So, the position of Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach regarding socks, that a woman is not Mechudin to put on socks in her home, even though perhaps outside she would be obligated to do so. And that, I went looking actually, and I found in the Micha Shlomo, which is his Sefer Shelos and Shuvas, in Chelek Gimel, Siman Kuf Gimel. Le'inyan Shok Yodua Sheyesh Sovim Shezeh Rak Hayarech, Abu Rabu Acholkim Al Zeh, Malachim Tzvichim Vadu Lahakbi, Lolo Tzeh Lerchob Liga Bayim. אבל אין ליגור במקום שהמון הפשוט לא מקביל על כך. אך אין להתחשב כלל למינים נושים שאינם זהירות, גם במשך פשוט ועושה לכל הדרס. So apparently, מעיקר הדין, he passed like the Mishabrua, that the area of the leg from the berach down is not considered to be shok. But since there are many that are cholik on that, as I mentioned, the Chazanish quotes the two different opinions of Rishonim, so one should be machmir outside. When one goes outside, one's home, and one should be machmir. But not in our house, and he saw me here on the Mishabrua, and it's not considered to be the Komasam Chusim, when a woman is in Ida, even the Gabi Baila, since that's how she walks in her home. But again, he quotes the Hara here, Rabbi Yashiv, it's quoted in the Halichot Bas Yisrael. This seems to be a difficult position, because that part of the regal is Makom She'ena Mechuse, Makom Begula, it would seem to be permissible. But I'm only saying this, again, that this issue is the subject, as I said, of a lot of discussion among the Gdolei HaPoskim. And just bottom line, the maskana, according to those shitas that say a woman is not mechuyev to cover her hair in the home, she's in the presence just of her husband and no one else. So then, again, the question is, what about the other parts of her body? As I started with, if she wears a chaluk shakuf in her home and not the most sanua kind of garb, the pasha is what one could argue that if no one else is present, there would no chiyev meikar adin to go ahead even and cover those parts, because she's not to be distinguished from a man. There's only a chiyah mitzad ma, mitzad the din I began with a week ago. Rabbi Yosef, Gemara Shabbos. Oh, Rabbi Yosef, Yomai lo ra'is, koros besi, imre chaluki. That's the marker. That marker applies to, and many hold that's a midas chasidus. I spent a few days talking about it. That's purely a midas chasidus. And even those who hold that's mikra adin, yesh makom lokel b'shat ha-tzorech, unquestionably. So therefore, the only thing that she has to be concerned about is her husband learning Torah, making brachas, and the like. That would not be, obviously, that would be usur in the presence of a woman who's dressed in such a fashion. But as I said, in general, one should try to follow the position of this halen. The Gemara in Shabbos, Rav Chisda, the Gemara says in Daf Kuf Mem, Omer Rav Chisda, Levante, Tehevei Tzni'uton, Bi'apeg Abreichu. Even the presence of your husbands, you should be as tanu as possible. And there's no doubt that Benot Yisrael, Haksherot, Vakdoshot, Vatahorot, they dress both in Sanua, even though it could be Mikra Din, they'd be allowed to dress in the fashion I've just described, but they undoubtedly try their best to be as Sanua as they possibly can, even the presence of their husbands.
Rav quoted last week of the Aruch HaShulchan that said you can make a bracha.
That's in front of a woman whose hair is uncovered. And the Aruch HaShulchan is something that has shown the Baruch Hai and others to pretend that the nature of the Erev Sar is different than other Erev. It's Yosef Bakum Lahokyo. Because Sar doesn't have the same attraction, the same erotic attraction that other parts of a goof have. That's the assumption of these Rishonim. Rav Moshe Feinstein's Atzal is Semich on this Aruch HaShulchan Ba'alocha. Because otherwise we would be in a lot of trouble. There are many, many women, even Aliyom HaZeh, thank God, the things that I make a sociological statement, if you don't mind.